the train a coming, it's rolling around the bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
Yeah, there you go. A little JC on a Friday. Johnny Cash. Tomorrow is 50th anniversary. January 13th, back 50 years ago, on tomorrow's date, that's when he showed up at Folsom Prison to do Folsom Prison Blues.
Wow.
And the concert. He showed up to do the concert with his soon-be wife, June Carter Cash, and his band, Tennessee 2, and he had Carl Perkins with him. Cash played two concerts that day, cherry-picking all the best songs of both for his At Folsom Prison album. And I'm going through reading a bunch of these facts, because I like a little Johnny Cash. I don't know much about him. I know what he means to rock and roll and the music and all that. But going through all this history of this monumental day, tomorrow the 50th anniversary, pretty damn cool. Did you know he did not want to play, or did not choose first to play, Folsom Prison?
No.
He wanted to play a different prison first.
Which one?
This was his idea, by the way. He wanted to do this. Wanted to go out, wanted to play for the inmates, wanted to record a live album. He wanted to go to San Quentin.
Ooh!
And San Quentin at the time, that was like the death row. That was like the prison. You know, Alcatraz had been closed up for a few years. He wanted to go to Quentin, and the warden, nobody there, ever called him back. So he's like, well, okay, can you call Folsom? Folsom Prison said, hell yeah, Johnny Cash, the inmates would love that. Come on down. So he said, okay. And when he gets on stage there and he says, I'm Johnny Cash, he starts jamming, the crowd goes crazy, and it was there on the spot when he said, I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. That was an ad-lib lyric that came to him right then.
Really?
And right there.
Awesome. I didn't know that.
I knew none of this stuff. It's pretty damn interesting. The concert took place in Dining Room 2 at Folsom State Prison, which Joe and I...
Yep.
have been through,
yep.
And you can see the murals on the wall, you can see the infamous Dining Room 2, and the majority of the prisoners were not in Dining Room 2 at the time. People kind of congregated and came, but they were like, well, I think I've heard a couple Johnny Cash songs, and a few people were like, yeah, I know who he is. And the other people that were locked up, they couldn't even hear the concert. Just to show you how dead the walls were and how concrete the walls were, there were a lot of people.
No kidding, it wasn't echoing all the way through there, huh?
So the echo you get on the album or on the CD that you hear, it was basically contained to that room, so most people didn't even know that it happened until well after it happened. And still to this day, you go to Folsom Prison, it's all about Johnny Cash.
It really is.
He's idolized there.
Yeah.
So tomorrow, 50-year anniversary, the reason I talk about it, not because it's a monumental date, but because Joe and I went to Folsom Prison.
Yeah, we did. We took a tour of that place.
Quite possibly the most interesting or scary thing that we or I have ever done in radio.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go ahead and agree with you on that. I was pretty excited about it when we first found out. We a friend of a friend got us in for a tour. Knew a prison guard.
CO.
And I was so stoked. Dog was a little put off by it. And I always kept thinking to myself, this is before we went there. Why, I wonder? Why is he a little put off by it? What, you know, what's the deal? And I was just more excited about seeing it.
Yeah.
Until we got there.
And you know, me being from here, growing up here, everyone knows the lore and the history and the look of Folsom Prison. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's so neat looking.
It really is. It's a beautiful building. But everyone knows the history if you're from California. And I'm like, oh, God, I don't want to go do this. And I wasn't at first scared.
You weren't. No, it wasn't nothing about being scared at first.
I didn't want to go down there. I didn't want to get up early and drive up to Folsom and go do this damn tour. But Joe's like, man, let's go do it.
So I'm like, come on, man. I want to see. I've never been in a prison before. They're so scary to me. You know, I wanted to see it.
So we go. And we show up, and for people out there, I know a lot of people here have been. You show up at the guard shack, you got to check in, you start looking at the wall of weapons.
Oh, can you just take tours?
I think
you don't have to know someone?
I think you can get up to the wall of weapons, and you can see that main area there.
Right there at that guard gate?
At the guard gate, yeah. I don't know how many people they let through the gates.
That wall of weapons is something.
Yeah. And you start looking around at the wall of weapons. And the guy's like, hey, put your social security here. You need that. You got your ID. You're like, okay, uh-huh. And we're like, all right, well, let's get this going, you know. I want to get through there and, you know, get to lunch. You know, we had to come back and do the afternoon show.
Right.
So we sign all of our lives away, and we look at the wall of weapons, and we talk to the guy. And then he says, okay, pay attention. Listen to me, ladies. If anything breaks out, if there's a riot.
This was the scariest thing I had ever heard in my life at that point.
And I'm going to try to do it verbatim. if anything happens, anything breaks out, if there's a riot, if there's any yelling, any cheering, chanting, if anything goes haywire, look to the catwalk above. If the armed guards draw their weapons, lie on the ground, protect your clothes to the best of your ability, and do not get up for nothing until we come and get you. It, look to this day. Goosebumps.
Yeah, me too. And I remember you go, protect our clothes. And I'm glad you asked it because I was thinking it. And he said, they will take your clothes from you.
Yes.
And try and get out with the group.
Yes.
That's on the tour. And I just remember thinking to myself, how am I ever going to stop a man from stealing my clothing?
And he said, with your life, with all the muscle and strength and fiber in your body, hang on to your britches. He said, because they'll strip you naked. And they're going to get into your clothes. And they're going to try to weave into... There's always counselors.
Right.
There's always some sort of doctor or some sort of outside street folk that are going through to check to do something. And those people are most at risk because they want to steal their clothes and get in. When you're locked up, you got a lot of time to think about getting the hell out.
And how you would do it and what would happen. And I just remember thinking to myself, my God, man, if he's saying this and making the point like that, it's happened.
Yeah. Oh,
someone's
you know
clothes
it has.
Have been taken from him.
And I looked at the guy and I said, you're asking me. And he looked back at me and he said, no, I'm not. Everything I just said, take it to heart. It's the gospel. You must do that. If you forget anything we tell you here, do not get up and hang on to your clothes until an armed guard comes to get you.
And then tell him the second scariest thing, he said, while we were standing near that wall of weapons.
Help me.
He goes, have a look at this wall of weapons, boys. He goes, these were all the shanks and all the knives and all the things that we have confiscated from guns, handmade weaponry that we have confiscated from prisoners over the years. And he goes about halfway down the board and he points to one in the middle and he goes, that was the one that was shoved in me.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yes.
He goes, that one right there was shoved in me. Two or three times it got him.
Yeah.
And he lived.
Yeah, and he lived. He did say that again, goosebumps.
God, I got him too. That makes my hands and feet sweat.
And I look around, you know, and I look at Joe, and I look at the CO and the other dude we're with, and myself, and I'm like, really? It's like 10:30 in the morning on a Friday, whatever, and I'm like, God damn, I'm not going in here.
Yeah, what have we gotten ourselves into here?
And now Joe and I are looking at each other, we're like, really? This is like legit? So for whatever stupid, clouded moment of clarity, we agree. And we walk through the gates, we buzz in, and just as soon as that gate closes, ka-kunk, we look back at the gate, and we're like, gosh, damn, there's no way out now. And all you could do was carry out throughout the tour. And we went, and we walked, and we heard the stories, and we saw the nude dudes showering, and the nude dudes playing handball, and we saw the armed guards up in the turrets that are made of wood. They talk about the boxing stories. They talk about Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
State boxing champ.
Manson.
Manson. They talk about Robert Downey Jr., where he stayed. They go through all the different lists of all the famous people who had stayed there. They talk about the stories. They talk about the two guys one night that broke out.
And how they did it and showed us the manhole and all that, like all of it.
And then talked about the other guys that broke out and went and joyrode a car, stole a bottle of schnapps, got drunk and high, and then broke back in.
Yeah.
To prison, so no one knew, even though they got caught.
And that first breakout, where I can't recall if the people had gotten caught, how their friends had boated somewhere to pick them up, or had drunk, you know, remember? And the whole thing was laid out. Like, it was really, really crazy.
It was interesting, and we walk, and we go through the chow hall, and we see the Johnny Cash murals, and we see the second kitchen there where he played, and we keep walking. Then we get up to cell block 13. That is just called Block 13.
Yeah.
And that's the gallows. And you go in there and it's creepy. And they were still using some of the cages. And the story of this was...
The
this
gallows, is, he means, that's the death row block.
That's where they hung or hanged. And we go in there and he starts telling the story of how the warden at the time, what he would do is he would do the countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, so on and so forth.
And while he's telling this, all the old beamage... And stuff is up there.
You can see the header.
From where the rope hangs.
Yeah.
The rope was not there anymore, but what it hung from and the area that they stood and did it was still there.
Intact. Yeah. The same greasy old tar-covered header up above, and it's dark in there, and you got to go up the steps, and it's concrete. It's everything you could imagine.
Yep.
And as we're in there, he said what the warden would do for everyone on Block 13, because there were 13 cells. And those are the ones that were most dangerous, that were going to die back when we hanged. And he said what the warden would do is count down. But the warden wouldn't go on zero. He always used a different number. So on this day, when they're going to hang someone, he'd say 10, 9, and you'd hear the gasp of air and the air leave the lungs. You'd hear the rope swing.
Ugh.
You'd hear the chair fall, and the other prisoners had to hear this. And the reason the warden did that is because he wanted the others to live in fear, not knowing what number he was going to call when they were called out to die. And that was all part of the mental effing, if you will, that went on there.
And he told that story damn near word for word, the way Dog just said that.
And it was creepy. And we're standing in there, and we're like, whoa. And help me with this factoid. Was Folsom Prison, or was it San Quentin, the only California state warden that was executed or murdered by a prisoner? Was it Folsom or San Quentin? I want to say it was San Quentin.
I don't know.
There was only one warden in the history of penal for California State that was executed by prisoners, and I want to say it was San Quentin, but it could have been Folsom.
Yeah, I can't. I don't recall that one.
So we walk on, and I'm thinking, yeah, we're not going to go into the jail. We're not going to go into where they actually house the prisoners. Well, lo and behold, it's lunchtime now. You bet we are.
Yeah, we are.
Cages open. They're coming down. We're walking by the cells. You can see the blankets and all their personals, and we're walking through there, and the dudes are looking at us like, you know, who are you guys?
And I mean by walking next to us.
Touching.
You could touch them. We were shoulder to shoulder with them.
Oh, yeah, the orange jumpsuit brushing up against our clothes. We're walking down their cells, and he says, go ahead, look up there at the catwalk. Look up there at the decaying stucco. See all those holes? Yep, you betcha. Those are all slug shots.
Yeah.
Those are bullet holes. And as we count and look up, I'm like, Jesus Christ, the place is riddled.
Some's got machine guns. Some's got shotguns. Crazy.
Yeah. And all the guards had the heavy machinery that were on the turrets and on the top. The CO that we were with, and I wanted him to have one bad, but he did not. He did not have a piece on him.
No way could you.
And he couldn't, because they would take it from him.
Yeah.
So we're walking through there. No weapons. Relying solely on the people watching us who are watching them, we keep walking. We keep walking. We get out of the prison yard. We go through the showers.
Wait, tell the prison yard story.
I'm sorry, we get out of the prison cells.
Yeah.
And now we're going to go into the other block. So to get to the other block, you got to cross through the yard.
And it's being used.
And it's yard time, and there's no yard duty, really.
And there's a lot of people in there.
Yeah, lots of tattoos, lots of anger, lots of pent-up aggression. So we... Dumbly again.
And we're little.
Yes, we're little. We're getting ready to go through the yard against our better judgment. The CEO, who everyone there loved and remembered.
Right. Even though he got shanked, they liked him.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what happens. I mean, here's the thing.
He was retired at this time, though, wasn't he?
He was retired, yeah. For all the guards there, if they really liked you, they'd only shake you once or twice. If they didn't like you, they'd kill you.
And they'd hit you in a non-viable area.
Yeah.
You
know? So he says, hey, we got to cross the yard here and then go into the other block. And before the gate even opens and they let us in, these two guys come up. They go, hey, you guys dogging Joe?
Which one? Oh, God. Neither one of us wanted to answer.
Yeah, because we had talked about it on the radio. You know, people knew we were going to be there.
They didn't say which one. They pointed right at me.
Well, he said, remember, he goes, which one of you's dog?
Yeah.
And I pointed at Joe and I said, he is.
Yeah, and I go, why did you do that right now? And then... Because he was big dog busting. Yeah, he was busting balls before we go there. You go, I don't want to go in there with a prisoner. I forget how you were saying it, but you were having fun with it. You weren't like being mean, but you were being kind of real and kind of ball busting.
The fact of the matter is, I'm out here because I'm not a prisoner. Correct. I don't want to go to jail. Prison's where bad people go.
Kind of close to that is what he was saying.
And the guy said, hey, which one of you is dog? So I pointed at Joe and I said, he is. And the guy's like, hey.
He walks right up to me. Looks me right in the face. And I'm like, oh my God, it's going to hang. He's going to steal my clothes.
Joe said, I'm not dog.
I'm Joe. That's dog.
So they open the gate and we hook up with these two guys and we walk through the yard. We make it over to a picnic table. They start going through a photo album.
They had this stuff all set up. They knew we were coming on this visit. Listen to us. They have radios in the prison.
Sure.
And were expecting us. And they kind of had it set up so the prisoners themselves wanted to set it up and talk about the history. I thought it was very cool of them.
They had pictures of Johnny Cash. They had pictures of Manson. They had all these black and white photos and newspaper ads. And they had the history of the prison. So it was cool.
So nice. We met a real nice guy in there.
Well, see, again, can't say that.
Nice to us.
It's prison. Yeah, they let us live.
They were very nice to us.
We made it through. And we walk into the other cell block. We work our way around. We get through. And then we go to where they make the license plates.
Mm-hmm.
The plate factory. Now, for me, I understand that license plates are made of metal. I'm walking through, I see the lathes. I see all the pressing machines and all the drills and everything that crimps and bends the metal.
Cut off pieces of metal.
And I'm thinking, wow, well, this is how I'm going to die. In the state of California, in Folsom Prison, with a letter J stabbed into my throat, a makeshift shank.
God.
And we walked through the prison, or through the license plate factory, and met a lot of people. Luckily, that's where the good ones go, because they want to make money, and they're there for good time.
And they can be trusted.
And they can be trusted to a point. And we walked all the way through and saw how they make all the California state plates. The personalized, the generic.
I thought it was impressive.
All the blocks that they use to press the metal and paint them.
And I think all the plates come from there, correct?
To the best of my knowledge.
I thought that's what they said.
Each and every plate that is on every car, I don't care if it's military, government, whatever it is, it's made in Folsom.
Yeah, yeah.
So we made it out of there alive. We did not get stabbed. We went on. We finished out the tour. And that day, I kind of thought it was cool. But when I got home that night, you know, they say hindsight's 20/20.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's the memory. You sit back and I'm like, and I told my wife and I told my mom, I was like, that was the stupidest thing that I've ever done. And I sat there for a couple of days. It messed me up thinking, why did I do that? That was so stupid to go through there. And the contact that we had and what we saw, I felt truly blessed that nothing happened and we made it out of there alive. And I'm not lying one bit.
You did. I did not feel that way. I felt more at ease. It still scared the bejesus out of me. I'm not going to lie to you. But I felt more at ease after the prisoners had the books ready for us and kind of the way they were acting. Like, they were really, for men who are hard men and have done, they were pretty kind to us.
See, but there's Joe's gullible side. Joe's thinking, oh, these guys are nice.
Hey, guys that commit crimes aren't all, you know, want to hurt everybody.
See, I go under the impression when I go into a prison that everyone wants to kill me because I'm good.
No.
That's how I go in. So when I got out, you know, it was like I'd won the lottery. And I told myself, wow, I will never do that tour again. I go to Alcatraz. We've been to Alcatraz. No one's in that. I'll never step foot in prison again. Whether I commit a crime or not, I will not. I could murder someone. I'm just here to tell you, I'm not doing a day of jail time ever.
Yeah, same. I'll flee.
I would not go back. So it was really, really historical, but creepy. And we were inside that damn thing. So tomorrow is the 50-year anniversary. Johnny Cash, Folsom Blues. Fantastic record for those out there that haven't listened to it. You can get it. I don't know if I was thinking they were going to do like a big 50 anniversary repressing or, you know, bonus track or artwork or whatever.
They're not?
I haven't seen that. So
they should.
Yeah, they really, really should.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So maybe we'll play some more JC coming up. Hopefully you enjoyed the story. I know that it doesn't apply to you because you weren't there. And you know what? That's a damn good thing.
Be happy you weren't, because I remember telling my wife at the time and all my buddies, I go, it's a good thing. And I'll tell you why I'm not a criminal. You take that tour and you realize real quick that a person like myself don't belong in a place like that.
No, absolutely not. Cash is coming. 15 minutes away. Double pay workday continues. We'll give you another $1,000. Text the code word we do give you back to 200. 200. Hang